All right, you're on.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak with the Public Service Commission. We are live on the 12th floor of the Capitol this morning, getting ready for a work session on case number RC-13-850. Commissioner Kalk is on the line, and we are currently tracking down Commissioner Chrisman. We think there may have been a little mix-up on his scheduling with the original time being set for 11 a.m. So we're going to have a slight delay here while we track him down, since he is a portfolio holder on this case, and we don't want to proceed without him. So there'll be a slight delay until we track Commissioner Chrisman down, and then we'll get this meeting underway. All right, we all set?
We're unmuted, so we're ready.
Okay, good. We are just about all gathered here. Just going to grab Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco, our attorney, and Commissioner Chrisman is here. So Brian is on the phone.
Apologies, everybody. I thought a five-minute trip downstairs ended up getting drug out.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're just about ready to go. We'll just get Alana in the room. And I don't have any opening comments this morning on this. This is our third work session on this issue. Brian, do you have any opening comments before we kick it over to Commissioner Chrisman?
Sure, Julie. The only thing I would offer is that I reviewed the order, and the only questions that I will have today are on number 41 when we get to that point. Other than that, I'm okay with everything, and thank you for letting me get in line.
Okay. All right, I will save my questions for as we proceed through the discussion and let you lead the charge here, Randy.
Okay, I have no opening comments. I'm ready to turn it over to Jim and look at some of the changes since we last met.
Well, I guess I don't have a document showing the changes from last time. I know this was distributed on Friday, so hopefully everybody's had a chance to look at it, and I thought we could just go through it page by page. Were there any comments? I know that I've gotten a few other comments, just some minor editorial things. I don't know if it's necessary to go through each of those.
I would say the minor comments, we can just circle ours on our and give them to whoever is doing the final draft. We don't need to walk through them here. We can just circle our comments and give them to for edits, for typos and that type of thing.
Then, based on our previous discussion, there's a few things that marked for follow-up. And the first one... that I have is on page 7, number 33, just at the last sentence of that. I think they're going to part of a comment that Dean had on that, and I went back and checked the transcript, and I just wanted to change that last part to read: additional soil material of equivalent quality will have to be salvaged from the changes start here, from between 5 and 10 feet below surface to supplement Mr. Voigt's subsoil. That's more in line with that transcript that Ms. Flath, or the testimony that she gave during the hearing and my reading of the transcript. So just that's relatively minor too, but it's...
Jim, as long as we're on that page, I'll just mention here...
Before I switch spots, can you repeat what it would say again?
That starting in the second to last line there after the comma, additional soil material of equivalent quality will have to be salvaged from between 5 and 10 feet below surface to supplement Mr. Voigt's subsoil. It just makes it more specific as far as that it's the subsoil that's being supplemented and that there'll be material salvaged from a depth of 5 to 10 feet below surface, just to be more specific, and that was reflected how that testimony was given at the hearing by Ms. Flath.
And just repeat one more time, the last part, to supplement?
To supplement Mr. Voigt's subsoil.
Okay.
Then on number 30, Jim and I talked a bit about this, and walking through the different items that Dr. Merrill had recommended be done. And then we conclude that line by saying the commission rules do not require the sampling and testing of soils that are replaced on reclaimed lands for these parameters. I recall during the hearing experts from both sides being asked what the best test for soil health is, and they said productivity. And so I feel that we just need to add a line there to that effect, that experts testified that productivity tests ultimately measure are the best measure of soil health, or something to that effect. So concluding why we aren't later requiring the company to do some of this biological testing.
Yeah, that you could add to that that finding number 30.
That was all I had on that page, Jim.
Before you move on to the next page, I'm going to skip back a few pages. This is a pretty small thing. It might be considered just a typo type of edit, but to me there's some significance, I think. On page 2, in number 1, the third line from the bottom, this is certainly a sizable impact on Mr. Voigt's operation, but since we don't know what he might all rent or those types of things, I'm a little uncomfortable saying that it's most of his operation. I'd feel more comfortable with, like, much of his operation, but I'm not clear that we know that it's most of it.
Okay. And nothing on, I guess, page two, which I considered, they're getting relatively minor too, with about halfway through that number two, there's a phrase in there, one of the Mr. Voigt's concerns was replacement of trees, and actually reading through the testimony again, it was more that it was the loss of mature trees, so I think I'm going to just make a change there to say loss of mature trees rather than replacement of trees. So. Yep. I think that brings us up. What I flagged here is the coal lease discussion, starting on with number 41. That's something we discussed at the last work session, and I think Alana's taken a look at that, and she's got some suggested changes on that.
Well, actually, when I looked at it, what you're reading in the draft order, I thought was okay, subject to the preference of the commission. There was nothing in there that I thought had to be removed. But since then, Jim said that Commissioner Kalk has contacted him and asked, and I think Commissioner Kalk will speak for himself, but that he's more comfortable with less in there. And so I quickly this morning then just put together another possible draft of how to say it with fewer words. So Commissioner Kalk, I don't mean to misstate anything for you.
Okay.
I did send it to him. That's why I pulled it out on a separate page so I could send it. I hope you got it, Commissioner Kalk.
So we'll just, in case he's not able to look at that and talk at the same time, we can just kind of walk through what it does, but it basically starts with number 41.
Takes everything out. It says what he testified to. I added a sentence that was a more general statement of concerns, that he had concerns. And then there is the company statement in 43. I thought if you're going to say what Mr. Voigt says, you should say what the other side says, but short. And then it just skips to the last one that we need copies, but we don't do terms, conditions, and practices.
So basically, yep, the coal lease gives, Mr. Voigt said the coal lease gives a right to mine his land. He was represented by an attorney during negotiations, expressed concerns regarding certain leasing practices and terms and conditions of the lease. Then it's Mr. Melchior testified that it was executed in 2010. Provisions in the lease to compensate Mr. Voigt for his loss of agriculture production due to mining activities. And then the final point is, while copies of coal leases must be included in mining permits to show the right to mine, coal leasing terms, conditions, and practices are not under the jurisdiction of PSC. Makes sense to me because all of this information about the negotiations of a swap, et cetera, and the informal conference, all of that is really unrelated to this decision.
That's correct. And I highlighted the company statement in yellow because I thought, well, maybe that could even be a little shorter, but I couldn't really think of anything, but it was my reminder to think a little further or use it as it is. I just did this at 9:30.
Well, and Julie, Brian here, I'm fine with what I just heard you read, and you're right, I can't pull it up and talk. The point was I think it was just too long before, and I just shortened it up, and I'm fine with what I just heard.
Okay. Randy, how do you feel about that, those edits, Alana's proposed edits?
Well, I had said last work session that trusting the reclamation staff and Alana's expertise from over the years on whichever way gives us the best defense of our position, if it's of our order, if it's challenged, is it by acknowledging some of these small detail, I don't want to refer to them as small,
yeah,
some of these details that are not within our jurisdiction, but at least acknowledging them? Or is it just based on the fact that they're not within our jurisdiction, not even address them?
Well, I think that it's equal, but only if you add a sentence that does say, yes, there were some concerns about certain things without being specific. If you were on appeal and this were challenged, both sides would be getting into the record and would be talking about these specifics that we've just crossed out as to how we arrived at the sentence. But I wouldn't want to put it in without saying he had some concerns. So that one sentence tries to be more paraphrasing of them. And I think with doing that, I think it's about – I don't see one being a lot better or a lot worse.
So you mentioned something there that's curious to me. Mm-hmm. How could this be a piece of an element of appeal?
Everything can be an element of appeal because there's about 8 standards in the law for how an agency's decision can be overturned. One is if you don't follow the law. One is if you don't explain how you got to your answer. One is if you don't explain that you considered the evidence and why you don't, you have to explain that you considered it, and then if you do that, it's like, well, then why didn't you agree with it? So you have to explain that you considered it, and you have to explain that why you agreed or didn't agree. You have to follow the law, and I'm summarizing the 8 into 3. But there are all kinds of standards, so everything's game on an appeal.
So in this case, if we're taking out evidence by not having it listed here, it's the evidence that
It's his testimony about specific problems he had, which was already summarized because he talked longer than the sentences that are in there.
And then the informal conference is
well, and, yeah, and that part.
I guess that just doesn't seem to me. We've considered the evidence and said why we, don't have jurisdiction over it.
Yeah, so I think so. I think you need to add that one sentence that he was concerned about certain provisions. The informal conference was more about he doesn't have to ask for that hearing early on, or the informal conference early on, but it was that explanation that following the procedural and what happened, but it doesn't have to be in there. Again, it's not an issue.
So you're comfortable with this?
I'm comfortable with it. Jim, are you? Because you just saw it now.
No, I'm comfortable with it too.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. I like the changes as well, so I guess I support moving forward with the way it's been edited, the proposed edits by Alana. Okay.
I don't have anything up until number 60. Again, this it's the last sentence in number 60. I guess we discussed that at the last work session as well, and that's the statement there. However, Mr. Norris did not submit his own AVF report for areas along Coyote Creek. That's the case. I don't recall there being any questioning or any specific testimony about this at the hearing about him preparing his own AVF determination for Coyote Creek. So in absence of that, we don't have other statements in here about things people didn't do and that. So I'm thinking in this case it's probably appropriate to remove that. I know that was a concern that Dean mentioned the last work session, and just thinking about that a little bit more, that we start going into things that people didn't do or wasn't part of the hearing, then that's kind of getting a little bit off basis too. So I'm thinking that sentence could be deleted.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm more comfortable with it out. Also, Jim and I talked a little bit about it this morning. I don't think it's necessary to any of the conclusions of the commission.
I agree. Based on what Dean said, in last work session about the fact that they were evaluating the evidence that was used, and that's typically what people do when they're appealing, is evaluate the evidence that was used, not provide new evidence to, substitute for the evidence that was used in the determination. And we effectively here walk through what their points are and what the, you know, what he claims. So I had suggested to Jim on number 57 that we elaborate a little bit more on what Mr. Norris's experience and credentials are.
Right. I think that's in the record of his past work on other AVF determinations.
Yeah.
Get to add a short phrase or
summary of that
in there. You can certainly do that.
To what effect? What's the...
To number 57.
To add his education and work just experience background? Or
just summer. Just go ahead, Jim.
Well, what Julie mentioned in number 62, that we talk about Dr. Bickel's experience with AVF determinations, and from what I recall that during the hearing that Mr. Norris also discussed his past experience on, you know, working with AVF determinations and familiar with hydrology requirements associated with AVFs.
My point being, both sides established the credentials of their experts, and I think that we should summarize them both.
If we do it for one, we should do it for the other.
If we do it for one, we should do it for the other.
Even if one does a report and one doesn't?
Well, why?
I mean, that's a distinction.
One had to do the report. One did the report that was required for the permit, and the other one is evaluating, you know, why that report is or isn't effective or accurate or whatever. So I think that, they both should be summarized in here kind of equally in terms of what their experience is. If they hadn't established that during the hearing, then I would say no, but they did. They spent time doing that. So,
yeah. I'm fine with doing that because
it's
like, say, reading through 62 and that we say quite a bit there with Dr. Bickel's experience. Ready to move on. The next thing up is on number 69, and actually have a proposed rewrite on that.
We're getting a copy handed out here, and we'll go ahead and summarize that for you, Brian, in case you haven't seen it or aren't able to read and talk at the same time.
Thank you.
Six-nine, that deals with regard to the AVF requirements in the Federal Reclamation Act, kind of what the basis was for that, and Dr. Bickel's testimony on that, where it's... those provisions were added to protect the agriculture production along streams in the more arid regions of the United States, where hay and other crops produced along the streams are essential to livestock production, other agricultural activities. Then, to make that a little bit more clear, then language being also added, that saying that while the AVF requirements apply to Western North Dakota since this part of the state is west of the 100th meridian, west latitude, which actually runs, I think it's about halfway between Bismarck and Jamestown, that north-south line. So we're right on the eastern boundary of the areas covered by the AVF provisions under the Federal Act. But in his testimony, you mentioned classic areas along the Powder River, which is located further west in Montana and Wyoming. And in visiting with Commissioner Chrisman, some of the language, I guess, made changes and proposed deleting the last sentence that was in the earlier draft. But then in reviewing the transcript again, there was the statement that he made that I think in looking at this, I think it should be added to this item, and that is Dr. Bickel further testified that regional climate in west central North Dakota enables areas other than stream floodplains to produce hay crops, including alfalfa, and thus regional livestock production is not dependent on stream valleys for hay production and other feed, as is often the case in arid areas further to the west. I think it's good to have some comparison to conditions in west central North Dakota compared to some other areas further west, and specifically the Powder River that located in Montana, mm-hmm. Wyoming.
And that
kind of ties that together to make that distinction. There's a difference between these two regions, put it like that.
I think this is better
than the way it was worded before. It was.
Did you catch that, Brian? Jim kind of pretty much read it.
Absolutely. I think talking. I talked to Jim earlier today. Actually, him, I talked about this a bit too, and I think it's a great addition.
Okay, good. One question here for Lana. It seemed, and maybe this is not entirely accurate, but it seemed like in a few different places, some of the quotes that were previously like attributed as direct quotes from people testifying were maybe taken out. Is there some reason? No?
I mean, I didn't really do that.
The one that jumped out to me was Bruce's indefensible. I think those quotes on his actual words were removed. And I thought, I was just curious if there was some reason why we don't
If we say exactly what they said, we better put it in quotes. If we paraphrase, okay. I don't remember if I took that out or not. I just don't remember having I made some, that were longer into the
okay.
separated ones. But if I forgot, I apologize.
You don't think that was ever quoted?
I just don't remember doing it. But
okay.
I'll
get an earlier draft here and see.
Sorry, I don't want to derail the wanted to confirm that we aren't doing that reason I'm unaware of. Yeah, that's later.
Might come to me when we get there, as I'm reading.
No, I guess I see an earlier version here from March 25th, and it wasn't
okay.
in quotes there.
I might have been dreaming. Sorry. I think he did use that word, though, so maybe it should be in quotes.
I think if you put that one word in quotes, you're almost drawing the wrong kind of attention to it.
Okay.
Like you're trying to say, how could it possibly be? I don't know. If somebody says that's reasonable, you say 50 times in that order, the expert said it was reasonable. We don't ever put any of those in quotes. If it's a whole sentence, special language and stuff that you didn't paraphrase, you better put it in quotes, and we have some of those. But
okay.
I think that's supported by the expert.
Okay.
So I'm comfortable with it that way, but I didn't remember quotes on it. Not to say it didn't okay. happen.
And as far as anything other than minor editorial things, that's the last of that I have marked up in my copy right now.
And Alana, you've now worked through the conclusions of law.
Yes.
Yep.
I think some of them have been moved up into facts. Now, the one thing that we talked about before I left, and then I didn't really see the language, but in like the conclusions 4 and 5, where we say we should require this, and we'll probably change it to it is reasonable to require. That sort of follows how mm-hmm. it was mentioned in the facts. So, but that's minor. I think they're perfectly legitimate. I will probably add to the ordering paragraph number 1 on the last page something like the commission's conditional approval dated October, whatever it was, is affirmed, you know, just to reference exactly which action we're affirming, but that's minor too. Where we say the conditional approval is affirmed, we'll probably just put the date and say the commission's.
Then to something Commissioner Crispin and I discussed as far as the date that's in there, I'm still checking to see if that poses any problem for Coyote Creek, but I wasn't able to get a hold of Don or Sarah on Friday, so I will check to see if that date is seems reasonable to them. So, and there again, it's any of these things that are being required here, it's a matter that there's not going to be any reclaimed land to check compaction for some time, and the other one deals with selecting the reference areas, which there again it'll be a long time before there's any reclaimed land to prove reclamation success. So if this drags out a couple months for getting a revision as laid out here, it shouldn't be a problem.
Do they actually establish those reference areas before they start mining?
Yeah, sometimes they do, sometimes not. It varies. Sometimes they'll select reference areas. Then over time, the condition deteriorates on those where they have to select different ones. There's been cases where it's been invaded by brome grass, or sometimes Kentucky blue now is becoming more common, but it's a matter that if those lands, these smaller reference areas aren't properly managed, their condition goes downhill. And
I see.
So it does become important to be continue looking at them once they are selected.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's, mm-hmm.
I think they had a couple areas tentatively identified, but they indicated they were going to be doing some more work here this coming year to look at what they thought are suitable reference areas at this time. So.
And how near do they need to be to the existing or to the mine spot?
The closer the better. You know, if they can get them within a couple miles, just with some of the variation in rainfall and that, particularly as you get into some of those, particularly for cropland, I think there's more variability than on native grassland. But
mm-hmm.
try to get them as close as possible. But usually for the native grassland, it's pretty easy to find suitable areas that are pretty close. It's just there again to make sure that the management stays appropriate so it doesn't drastically change over the course of 5, 10, 20 years or whatever. So.
Okay. Well, you know, I just, when going through issues like this, whether it's a new permit or contesting an existing permit or whatever, I really like to make sure we've listened to what the people, what their concerns are, and do our best to address those, you know, each piece. And you guys did a nice job of laying out what Casey's concerns were, and I went through, you know, them each, and in terms of the native grassland establishment being a big one, that's addressed. The nutrient value of the forage, it's required by bonding to prove that it is. So, you know, that's addressed in here. The loss of future egg production, same. You know, productivity has to be established prior to bond release, so that should be covered. The replacement of trees is covered. The methods and equipment for land recontouring, we added a component on the compaction issue there. which is really what they were getting at, I think, in that complaint, and then the compaction issue as well. The rooting depths addressed with the subsoil, you know, actually should be better with the improvements that you're going to be making on the soil and subsoil depth. Road closures, mine signage, the coal leases, all of those things were addressed. So even to the complaints that each of the experts identified, I think that we've gone through and really methodically addressed each one of them. So I think that I'm really comfortable with this order. You guys did a nice job pulling all the facts together and thinking through them and helping us make sure we're doing our best to address those concerns, those that are within our jurisdiction, and hopefully have a better product here than what we had at the beginning. And I hope that it goes a long way to establishing good relations between the Voits and the mining company and a better product in the end for everyone involved, especially the Voits. So.
I have nothing really to add to that other than to thank the staff for moving this along at a pretty good clip in order to, as Julie just said, be responsive to everything that we heard and I think put together a pretty well-detailed order.
This is Alana. I need to thank Reclamation, Jim, and the crew because they did all the work mm-hmm. and really, really did a great job. So I appreciate it. It helped me out a lot, too.
Brian, any final thoughts?
No, just to add on, I mean, this was a little unique. Oftentimes we get the company order on one side and you get the complaint and order on the other side. But I think we handled this perfectly where staff developed their own order that we all worked through, and I think it's a great product, and I look forward to the special meeting tomorrow.
Okay. I think that concludes this work session. Thanks, everybody.